And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got several text messages I'll get to here in one moment. Before I do that, though, we're wrapping up Home Fries. Going to move over to Adventures of Woke World after I talk to Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing, man?
Hey, good show, you and Boomer.
Hey, man, thanks.
Enjoyed the discussion on the ABC stores. I was ignorant of all that. Informed us of. I don't know if I've ever set foot in one. And I've consumed enough beer and alcohol to float the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Trust me. So I don't know why they're there. On a related topic, did you monitor that Biden's alcohol czar, and did we even know we had an alcohol czar? The recommendation from Biden's alcohol czar has been standing that American men should have no more than two alcohol beverages a day, and women no more than one. But they're liking a lot Mr. Trudeau's policy in Canada, which is two-in-one beverages per week. And I'm thinking, okay, let's see how that floats if we ever wanted a real live insurrection to happen. Try and enforce that beyond a recommendation in the United States. Come on, man.
And you know, people think, well, that's not enforceable. There's no way they could do that. But here's the thing. Here's what they do. As they begin moving more and more towards, you know, socialized medicine, well, if the government has already told you they'll pay for your medical care, but the government has also told you can only have two beers a week, and then somewhere down the line you have a cirrhosis of the liver or something else, and they accuse you of being, you know, beyond the norm is what was recommended, guess what? They don't cover your medical needs at that point because you decided to be high risk.
Exactly. And you kind of stole my thunder because that's where I was taking this.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You know, think about who's already on government health care. My wife's on Medicare. I'm going to be. We're on whoever's on TRICARE. Anybody who's on VA provided medical care, they're already subject right now, I think, to be filtered by the prism of these what sound like soft recommendations, but will become hard mandates.
Yes.
When it comes to whether they're going to provide you care or not. So that's kind of outrageous to me.
Well, it is outrageous. And I look at it and think, it's at some point you have to recognize that government doesn't have a role in everything. I mean, like, this doesn't have a role. Not even stay in your lane. Like, why do you even have a lane in that regard?
Well, think of what the federal government's role is or what their lane are supposed to be, the protection of our sovereign borders, and providing that the American citizens' rights and privileges under the Constitution aren't trampled upon. They're doing the exact opposite and have been, obviously, for many years.
Unreal. Hey, Spark, before I let you go, I got to ask you a question. All those days when you were a green suiter, and I'm sure you ate a few MREs in your time, did you or did you not care for the ham and chicken loaf? Remember that one, ham and chicken loaf? Like, who thought that up?
I did not particularly dislike that because I was an improvisational cook out in the field. I do things with MREs were sort of the basis. What I couldn't tolerate, could not, was chicken a la king, if you remember that.
Oh, my gosh,
Whenever I'd come in from night flying, it was like, that was all that's left. There's three boxes of MREs open in the camp, and they're all chicken a la king, and you're going to love this. I had a fine artillery officer, a lieutenant, who said, Sparky, I'm going to square you away. He comes back from the S4 the next day with a brand-new banded box of MREs. It's got the factory bands on it and everything. So I said, well, this is how you treat somebody with respect. Thank you very much, sir. You know, and I cut the bands with my Gerber knife. I pop open the box, pull it out, chicken a la king. Pull another one out, chicken a la king. Pull it out, chicken a la king. He had gone down and he had carefully cleaned them and loaded them in and rebanded them down at the fore shop. And I was helpless with laughter. I was crying and laughing at the same time. One of the best pranks I ever suffered in my life.
Well, I hope you flew him napping the earth with the doors open for a while right after he ate a batch of that stuff sometime soon thereafter.
That was one rock solid guy. 13 bucks, salt of the earth.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. All right, Sparky, we appreciate you, man. You have a great day, buddy.
All right, great show. Bye.
All right, thanks. Who's on that next, Boomer? I can't read that one on the board right now. What you got? Oh, is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, I got about a minute. What you got, man?
Well, the ham and chicken loaf, it wasn't too bad.
Of course, I'd take
some stuff out in the field with me, and I'd chop it up, put in some aluminum foil with some chili beans, and set it on the back grill of the M1A1 and heat it up, and it would turn out okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you were cooking up ham and chicken loaf with Tabasco and beans, you were nobody's friend about an hour later.
Especially inside of a tank. It was better than my buddy Max, who would bring kimchi in, and you could smell it in the tank for 3 days in the field going through his pores.
That is certain things have to be banned. Like I think kimchi in a tank, that's just a fart can is all that is. Just at that point, that's awful.
Yes, it was evil. You have a good day.
All right, see you, man. All right, listen, I got several text messages. We're going to come back here from the break in a moment. We're going to jump into Adventures in Woke World. By the way, speaking of rations, where'd he go? Raven from Russellville. He's an old school guy. He says, we had sea rats, ham and gravy, and a can cold. He said, that alone is enough to cause PTSD. And he said, and I still put kiwi on my Cochran boots. Keep on keeping on, Phil and Boomer. Thank you, Raven. We appreciate you, man. What else have I got here? Jeff from Town Creek says, hello, when and where is the job fair? I don't know what we're talking about, but okay. I think he was texting somebody else. Lisa from Huntsville, the state needs to get completely out of the liquor business. They claim it's a huge cash inflow with the state, but I don't see how. Well, there's a lot of people buying liquor. That's how. But the reality is they do a good markup, and they send about $363 million a year to the general fund or the education trust fund. I forgot which. So it's a cash cow, and that's the reason why it's still there. Plus, like I said, I think there's some people that control certain things. Marcus from Huntsville says, Alabama does not allow car manufacturers to sell vehicles in the state either. A manufacturer must sell to a car dealer who can choose whatever he wants for the vehicles. This is why you do not see Tesla showrooms in Alabama, because Elon Musk does not want people hiking up the prices. I did not know this. I shall check this out. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I mean, this show like goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm going to get a few more text messages. Before I do that, I see I got a call on the line, so let me grab Mike from Elkmont. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, brother, I'm blessed for myself.
I'm doing good enough. How about that?
All right. When I went in, we were still on sea rations, which the best thing on the planet was canned peaches.
Oh, yeah.
But then we went to the MREs, and the worst thing ever was fruitcake in the foil packs. But yeah. I was in an extraordinary small unit. And because of that, we tended to get, on the supply drops, we tended to get left out.
Oh.
You've never seen anything like 400 snipers fighting over a piece of fruitcake that's fell in the dirt, but wanting that fruitcake very, very badly. But we still ate and enjoyed that dirty piece of fruitcake that we split four ways.
Oh, good enough, man. Hey, appreciate your service, too, Mike. Thanks so much. What branch of the service were you in?
United States Marine Corps.
All right, Semper Fi. We appreciate you, and thank you.
Hey, thank you for your service too, Phil.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Good calls. Yeah. So MREs, they get a bad rap. I mean, you think about it, though. Look at what other nations feed their armies. Wow. We actually do pretty well. And I remember the fruitcake. The fruitcake didn't bother me much, but the one that people like would like fight over was if you got the one that had the chocolate nut cake in it. Oh, yeah. If you get the chocolate nut cake, and it came in a pouch. I mean, picture of something about the size of a Pop-Tart, right? But it's a piece of pressed cake. And you get the chocolate nut cake, it was legit, man. It was real. And then, you know, you never had time to make the coffee, but if you were out on patrol, you could take the little coffee, instant coffee packet they put in there and just pop it between your cheek and gums and let it just sit in there like putting in a dip, and that caffeine would just bleed into your system and you know, keep you awake. And they, I'll never forget, too, one day at Ranger School, it was right when they were coming out with what we call the second generation of MREs. And one of the guys opened his MRE, and it had M&Ms in it. And everybody's like, what? What? You got what? MREs. They got M&Ms. Well, one of the Ranger instructors walked over and was just starting to chew this guy out. Clear, Ranger. What are you doing sneaking in that pokey bait like that? Just giving him what for. And one of the other instructors had to go, John, it's the new MREs, man. They got MREs. They got MREs with M&Ms in them. What? He thought, you know, the world was coming to an end. Anyway, all right. Brandy from Athens says the best MRE ever was the Chili Mac. Chili Mac. Chili Mac. Yes. Tony from Piedmont. I think the Trustful. Anyway, oh, he's talking about Harley Davidsons. Yeah, you can get a Harley Davidson without having to go through. He says the bought one in Iraq in 05, shipped the Trustful. They had to assemble it and didn't get a dime. That's interesting, man. Hey, Tony, appreciate you, man, as always. Bob from Madison says, when my son was in Special Forces in Africa, he would eat birds, snakes, and even monkeys to avoid the MREs. John from Huntsville says, Boomer, you need to cook up some seafood loaf. I don't know what was just said to me, but don't ever say those words again. Those words should never be in the same thing. Doman from Harvest says, Jenga bars. Yes, Jenga bars. And then Mike from Huntsville, he points out, great point, Mike. I had not thought of this. Talking about the alcohol limitation. So the recommendation from the Canadian government is no more than 2 alcoholic drinks a week, all right? And I'm not a big drinker, but, you know, how are you going to govern that anyway? Why is it your role to govern that? He says, so Canada, this is Mike from Huntsville, Canada is okay with assisted suicide, but they don't want you to drink too much. He said, are people this stupid? And the answer to that is, yes, they are. All right, listen, here's the deal. Every once in a while when I'm getting the show ready, you guys know, those of y'all that listen on a regular basis, you know what happens. I get there early in the morning, I'm working on the show, I'm starting to read through the resources, figuring out what my dippers are for the day, and I start going, man, look at the wokeness. Oh my gosh, how much wokeness can there be? Did you see all the wokeness? And I realize I've got so much of it. I've got a vast buffet of wokeness. I've got a veritable cornucopia, a plethora, if you will. And we have to do another segment of Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
I just told Boomer, I said, turn your camera on. Your faces. All right. Boomer, what's a Streamy Award? Do we know? A Streamy Award.
Streamy?
Like there's the Emmys, there's the Tonys.
Okay.
There's the Academies. There's the CMA Awards. What is a Streamy Award?
A Streamy, like, are you talking about like streaming?
I guess. Streaming online.
Maybe social media? I don't know.
Guess.
They have that?
Well, apparently, because I'm holding up the highlighted article so that all the world can see.
Streamies.
Story on the post-millennial. So Dylan Mulvaney's back in the news. Gosh. Dylan Mulvaney, the crusher of the soul of Bud Light. Dylan Mulvaney won an award for Best New Creator at the Streamies Award. And he's beside himself because he won an award.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure it's a participation trophy.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet that's all these are.
So trans TikTok influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who's all of 26 years old, won an Academy Award, won a Streamy Award for Breakout Creator at the 2023 Streamy Awards and he was so excited. So excited. His comments were, I'm really shocked. I thought the only award I might ever win was maybe a Tony. He thought he'd win a Tony?
He thought he was going to win.
Because now I'm a musical theater gal with Streamy. What? Mulvaney exclaimed while wearing a red satin mini dress, diamond necklace, blonde tresses, and high heels. Yeah. This points out, by the way, what?
I'm just, sorry, I don't have anything to say. I'm just
Would you just rather eat meatloaf right about now?
I would rather eat meatloaf than talk about Dylan Mulvaney.
Since the Bud Light marketing campaign that celebrated Dylan Mulvaney's 365 days of girlhood in April, Anheuser-Busch has lost billions of dollars in revenue over nationwide boycotts of the brand and the coveted title of America's best-selling beer. Mulvaney recently slammed Bud Light for not supporting him through the backlash and escaped to Peru because he had to feel a sense of safety after becoming an infamous controversial. To Peru?
He went to Peru because his feelings were hurt because Bud Light would not back him when they were losing billions.
So let me ask you this. Is Peruvian culture safer for transgenders than the wokeness we have here in America? I just have a feeling he might get buried out there in like some kind
why would he go there?
Jungle environment.
And why is he boo-hooing? Because I'm sure he still got paid.
Oh, dude. He's probably
a
millionaire.
I don't even want to know how much it was.
I don't even want to know either. But he did win a Streamy.
But he got himself a Streamy.
He thought he might win a Tony, but at least he got a Streamy. Nice.
Go for that Streamy award.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So next case I've got here for your wokeness pleasure. So a federal judge. All right. Let me ask you this. Were either you or the lovely McQueen involved in frat life or sorority life in college? Neither one. Athletics and all that kind
of
stuff.
Just athletics. Yeah. I mean, I guess athletics would be its own fraternity or
sorority. I was not personally. I was super involved in like student government and ROTC, but the lovely Charlene, she was a Chi-O. So, yeah, she was. I cannot imagine. And my daughter, she was a sorority girl. I cannot imagine my daughter having to stay in a house, a sorority house, where dudes who think they're chicks are allowed to stay. It's apparently where we are.
I don't understand this. Like, why would they allow this?
Well, it gets worse. It went to court. The girls of the sorority house were like, the dude's peeping on us. I mean, they were describing behavior that is not good. And it says, in March, several current and former members of the University of Wyoming's Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority sued the national sorority to revoke the membership of what they described a peeping transgender student who goes by the name of Artemis Langford. Artemis, despite the women's descriptions of Langford's alleged actions, was not thrown out. In fact, the judge ruled in Artemis's favor. Yeah, it gets worse. Hang on. This is a judge. This is sitting on the bench. This is the objective view of the judge. Here's the quote. The University of Wyoming chapter voted to admit, and more broadly, a sorority of hundreds of thousands approved, Langford. That's Artemis Langford. With its inquiry beginning and ending there, the court will not define woman today. What? The court? Who's the judge? It's a federal district. By the way, this is a federal district court judge. Federal. The judge, the court will not define woman today. The delegate of a private voluntary organization interpreted woman, otherwise undefined in the nonprofit's bylaws. So it has to be in your corporate bylaws now to define what a woman is? That's required of someone who sits on the bench? As an attorney, by the way, I find this to be unconscionable. This is a shock to the conscience. Says this judge, this is finishing the quote, expansively, this judge may not invade Kappa Kappa Gamma's freedom of expressive association and inject the circumscribed definition of the plaintiff's urge. Meaning, I ain't getting into it. Y'all figure out what a woman is. That is an abdication of common sense right there. That is an absolute assault on normalcy. The girls say, though, that the dude doesn't even always act like he's really the trans chick that he says he is. That only occasionally does he wear women's clothes. He's never undergone any treatments. He's often unshaven. He doesn't take female hormones. He's not doing laser hair removal. And they catch him peeping at them at awkward times. I'm not even going to tell you some of the other things that it says. But here's the bottom line. This is wrong. For a federal district court judge, who's the judge? Where's the name? Is the name in here? It's a federal district court judge, and I don't see the name of it. Why is the name of the judge not on here? But the bottom line is, I cannot imagine someone sitting on the bench. Of course, we do have a Supreme Court justice who defined. Ketanji Brown Jackson, during her confirmation hearings, declined to admit what a judge was or what a woman was. But this particular federal district court judge apparently feels emboldened by that and says, the court will not define woman today. What a farce. What an absolute woke farce. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We will come right back and take more of your text messages and calls if you want to, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We're in Adventures in Woke World. It just gets woker from here, y'all. Stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, making common sense a superpower. All right, we are in Adventures in Woke World, and I got to tell you, there's a couple things out there that are just, they defy logic, which, I'll be honest with you, woke world is oftentimes illogical. Some of y'all know about SpaceX. That's the company owned by Elon Musk, the world's richest man, the guy who owns the former Twitter, now known as X. Now he also owns SpaceX. He owns Tesla. No telling what else. So SpaceX, if you're not familiar, actually deals in highly confidential and sensitive national security issues as a contracting firm and as a, you know, under contract to build certain things for the space industry. And guess what? They're being sued by the Department of Justice. Why would that be? Because the DOJ is saying they don't hire enough non-permanent residents. What? That's your case? You're going to go in there and say, SpaceX, owned by the guy, by the way, who's been in your face for a while now about freedom of speech and things like that, you're going to say that SpaceX is guilty of not hiring enough non-Americans. What the heck is... Does anybody... I mean, do you just look around and find things as being completely upside down sometimes? Which is what Adventures in Woke World really is. It's when the things are upside down and we have to run through the adventure of dealing with it. So everybody with this article is from hotair.com, by the way. Hotair.com came out yesterday afternoon. Says everybody with two or more working brain cells strongly suspects to a near certainty the investigation that led to this point has been politically motivated. You think? Says ever since Musk, who has been a loyal Democrat in the past, switched sides and made clear he thinks Democrats have gone nuts and are anti-freedom, they've been calling for investigations and harassing him. Points out that every major politician from the left has called him a security risk. He's even been singled out by President Biden. He said it would be silly to ignore this. The Justice Department's actions are pretty clearly weaponized government. The DOJ, though, as it turns out, the article points out in Hot Air, should be suing itself because many federal agencies specifically note that they only hire U.S. citizens for their jobs. So I'll be honest with you. First of all, I am confused why this is the DOJ's priority. I assume they have a department that handles complaints about not hiring enough resident aliens. Why do they have that department, by the way? Why is that a priority in government? It should not be. When you have a government so big that it can do things like suing a major company for not hiring enough non-Americans, then your government has gotten out of control. And that's where we are. How much time we got, Boom? I got time for that audio we talked about a minute ago? I think we do. It's a short one. Yes, okay. I'm moving to the next story then because I'm leaving behind the SpaceX. It just frustrates me. How about this? There was indeed a racially involved shooting in Jacksonville, Florida, just in the last few days. A tragedy. It appears some white dude decided all he wanted to do was kill black people. They did catch him, not before he killed three people, though. And that's a tragedy. And if there are hate crime laws in Florida, this one certainly qualifies, and he definitely ought to be prosecuted as such. However, the liberals who hate guns have immediately launched into, it's all about gun control, and we got to have more gun control. Well, leftists, it says, quickly also blame Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Like, what? Reasoning that his anti-woke agenda had somehow caused the shooter's blatant racism. No, it didn't. And the fact that he has a constitutional carry bill passed by the Florida legislature enabled the shooter to carry out the mask. No, he didn't. He got his guns legally. The problem is he was a bad person. All right, listen to this. This is the audio of the sheriff doing the press conference. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to tell you something about him. Hit it, Boomer.
The story is always about guns. The people are bad. This guy's a bad guy. If I could take my gun off right now and I lay it on this counter, nothing will happen. It'll sit there. But as soon as a wicked person grabs a hold of that handgun and starts shooting people with it, there's the problem. The problem is the individual.
So how great was that? Thank you, Sheriff, for standing up at a press conference when someone asked you a question about gun control and pointing out, no. I've got a gun on my hip right now. If I take it off and lay it right here on the table, it does nothing. It's when the wicked person grabs it, he says, that it happens. Let me point out something, too. That sheriff is a black man. The shooting was racially motivated against black people, and he was having none of it. He was all for the idea of you know, the perpetrator being brought to justice, absolutely. And yet he was not crying racism, and he was not crying gun control. He, as a black man himself, a black sheriff, knows that the laws of this state are already in place to prevent bad guys from getting guns illegally, and that the idea that we're going to infringe upon everybody else's constitutional liberties because one wicked man picked up a weapon and did something. So good on him, and I really appreciate that. By the way, Boomer, I did not get that sheriff's name. I had it in this article, and I do not have it with me now. If you see it in that link that I sent you, man, let me know, because I want to call his name out and just, you know, use my microphone to thank him by his name. Good on him. Last story I got. Let's see. Do I want to do that right now? No, I'm not, because the music's playing. Ha-ha! See how that works? Pastor knows when to quit preaching. All right, I got a little more Woke World. We'll finish it up in a segment when we get back, and then we'll try to get into some Bidenomics as we close out the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three. Inexplicably, it is hour number three here on Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. I'm in Woke World, Adventures in Woke World, and I got several text messages roughly in, again, from Huntsville texted in and said, I just took my nausea pill. I get it. Some of these stories, man, I'm just telling you. TC from Priceville is looking forward to the pick'ems. He wants to see that list released soon so he can pick his winners, but he says, as always, roll tide. He's also down. He says he's headed down to Troy for their opener versus FSA. What would that be? Florida. Atlantic? Okay. JT Lacey Springs, sent me one. Yeah, in fact, JT, you bring up a great point. I tell you what, JT, I'm going to skip forward to that story right now because JT just sent me one that's actually in my stack. Where is it? Hang on, I'm getting there. Riley Gaines, y'all remember Riley Gaines? She was here in Alabama not long ago, spoke at the Madison, what was it, Moms for Liberty, did the Madison Library event with Kirk Cameron and Riley Gaines. All right, now that I finally got my words out. Riley Gaines was really, I mean, she's become somewhat of an icon that is making, the liberals can't stand her because she's got the street cred. They can't talk around her because she's been there and done that. And Riley Gaines is literally standing up for women's sports almost better than anybody I've seen because she is a female athlete, you know, a great one. A swimmer, collegiate swimmer, and she's also, by the way, somebody who's had to compete against dudes who think that they're chicks. All right, so Riley Gaines recently was in Nebraska doing what she does, which is speaking out on the topics at hand, and State Senator Megan Hunt, who's apparently a liberal, doesn't say this, but the story here on townhall.com dated yesterday, State Senator Megan Hunt from Nebraska insinuated, though, that the only problem here, really, this is the issue, is that Riley Gaines is just bitter about competing against dudes because she did not win a trophy. That's what it is. You're just sad you didn't win a trophy. Yeah, Senator Megan Hunt is a Democrat until this year. She now claims to be an independent. Here's her quote. "It can be hard when we're young not to win a trophy sometimes. But we grow up and realize it's not the end of the world, and we don't need to turn that loss into our entire personality." That was her tweet about Riley Gaines, to which Riley just like body slammed her and said in response, "It's not about a trophy, never has been. That trophy is meaningless and devalued entirely. It's about the message it sends to us. Nebraska girls deserve better than you." Woo! And then she says, "And by the way, I didn't lose to the 6'4 male who was cosplaying as a woman. We tied." Sore loser argument doesn't work here, but good try. Good for you, Riley Gaines. I mean, like, what a hero. Build a statue in her honor. But, yeah, I mean, what a stupid thing for a state senator to say. You're just mad because you didn't get a trophy. No, I'm mad because he got a trophy. That's what we're mad about. We're mad that he... And what does she say? Cosplaying as a woman. That's the issue. The very idea that a state senator is going to say that and think it's going to fly on by. All right, let me jump back. You ready? Have we lost San Francisco? Boomer, you ever been out to San Francisco?
Yeah, many times.
In your tours and all? Mm-hmm. Beautiful city, huh?
Yeah, absolutely pretty.
Feel like we've lost it? I don't know.
Well, if there's poop in the streets with poop patrols and, you know, some, you know, extracurricular needles in the street, I don't know. I haven't been out there in a long time, but what I've heard is not good.
You bring up a point. Poop patrols.
Poop patrols. I just remember that story from a long
time
ago.
Any city that has to have poop patrols. We're not talking about the ones who clean up the dog park.
And they pay the poop patrollers.
And how's that for our resume builder? Thank you for coming in, Mr. Smith. I see in your last job you worked for the poop patrol. Tell me, what are your qualifications to be a cybersecurity programmer now? Well, I scooped more poop than any man on my shift. Well, thank you. You're hired. All right, so here's the deal. San Francisco, story here on Daily Caller came out yesterday. The iconic retailer Nordstrom, national chain, you know, yeah, Nordstrom has closed down its flagship location now as of this past Sunday after 35 years in San Francisco. They shut her down. They just went ahead and said, you know what, we're out of here. A Nordstrom employee at the San Francisco location partially attributed the closure to the rampant crime in the area, according to ABC News 7. Property crime, which includes shoplifting, is up 57%. 57% in San Francisco in the last 3 years. The Nordstrom employee said, well, it's definitely partially due to the crime.
Partially? What? What else is it?
They tried to say COVID also had a big impact.
COVID's done. It's gone.
Yeah.
Bye.
I guess everybody's still shopping online. I don't know. No, it says the Nordstrom official attributed the San Francisco departure to decreased sales revenues and changing dynamics. Well, the decreased sales revenues are because of the changing dynamics in the area. Yeah. San Francisco is and I had that article a few months back. San Francisco is in what they call a death spiral. They can't pull out right now. And the bottom, 39 stores, including Whole Foods and Office Depot and now Nordstrom, have all vacated downtown San Francisco.
Well, that's probably not even including the ones that are privately owned.
Oh, yeah. Not part of a franchise or chain?
Right. Like just a small business. Who knows how many of those close down? And what are they trying to do to help it? Other than saying, nothing. Hey, you can keep doing what you're doing, guys.
They're putting poop patrols out.
They're putting...
We'll help you clean the nastiness out from your front steps of your store if you'll just please stay open.
When you gotta go, just go. We'll clean it up after.
Yo, Lord. But here's the thing. Part of it is because there is a culture of rot going on right now. I coined that phrase just now. I wrote it, and it's right there at the top of the page.
Culture of rot.
Culture of rot.
I like it.
All right. Meaning they're rotting from the inside out in San Francisco. Here's the next story. Ready? Los Angeles Times reports as of yesterday, one San Francisco bakery says it will not serve armed uniformed police or military. Union calls the policy bigoted. You think? So a place called Reams of California, which is a bakery. I guess she can go in there and like have a cup of coffee or whatever. Will not serve anyone armed and in uniform, and that also includes, quote, members of the military. The union, the police union, is demanding the chain own its own policy because they're trying to backtrack. No, we didn't really mean that. We just don't like guns. We don't want you to bring your guns in. Okay, so we'll just leave the guns in the car? I mean, what do you want to do?
Let me leave it on top of my car while
just set it here on the sidewalk. If Poop Patrol can hold this for me, I'd appreciate it. The union tweeted out, we're not asking Reams or any business with a bigoted policy to serve our officers. We're asking them to own their discriminatory policies, put up a sign so we know where not to spend money when we're on or off duty.
Oh, that's good.
That is very good. And by the way, the union rep says, this is not our interpretation. This is what they said their policy was. This is what their employee told our officer. And this is our point. If you're going to have those policies that discriminate against one group of people, you need to own it. Post it publicly. Let your potential customers make the decision that best reflects their values. By the way, we had this happen, but recently there's another business called Pizza Squared out in San Francisco told officers they were not welcome. The cashier, though, was fired. The store backtracked real quickly and said their employee was out of line. But this is the culture of rot that is killing San Francisco right now, just crushing it. And it's sad because it's a beautiful city. Unbelievable. All right, let's see. Do I want to do this one? I think I will go ahead and I will do this. I'll tell you what, why not? I'll do one more story. Heck. Make a decision, Phil. Good Lord. I want meatloaf for dinner. All right, here we go. What does YMCA stand for? Do you recall? Young Men's.
Yeah, I was about to say Young Men something.
Christian Association.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then why are YMCAs allowing transgenders to use whatever bathroom they feel like? Maybe they've lost their way.
Mm.
Story here from Daily Signal, an exclusive. Let me rattle it. It's a big one.
Sounds thick.
It's thick. 10 pages. Ooh. First on the Daily Signal, small town YMCAs in suburban Ohio have launched themselves headfirst into transgender debates by allowing men who identify as women to access the women's locker rooms. And women who have belonged to these supposedly family-friendly YMCAs for years are discovering to their shock that management considers their safety and privacy inferior to the feelings of these men. Dudes who think they're chicks, or at least want to pretend they're chicks. Local media broke the news, a story as a... You know what? Some of this is so nasty, I don't even want to read it. It just is. It's worse than meatloaf. All right, so local media broke the news earlier this year that an obese man who allegedly identifies as a woman would not be guilty of indecent exposure since when he was naked, his stomach fat covered things up. Kid you not, second paragraph of the story. It's right there. This is where roughly Ann has to take a second nausea pill right now. One Ohio mother who asked not to be identified to protect the privacy of her two daughters says she saw the man, who goes by the name Rachel Glines, fully naked and leering when she and her daughters were showering in the in this locker room. Katisha Young, another employee of a neighboring Fairborn YMCA, shares with Daily Signal that the same man, who also goes by the name Darren Glines, allegedly assaulted her, sexually assaulted her, just a few months ago. One father, who's also a pastor, said, "I made the mistake of sending my girls into the locker room by themselves, and they actually walked in on him." That goes on to say the YMCA of Greater Dayton adheres to Ohio and federal laws and anti-discrimination laws allowing all members access to its facilities. Yeah, I got news. You have lost your way, YMCA. Somewhere along the line, the YMCA has got to take a stand. They are a national organization. It's not like just because there's a local state law, they're going to require you to violate your faith-based principles. So if you want to be bold, go ahead and say, you know what? Not on our watch. If you want to be woke, then do me a favor, take the C out of your name. Just be the YMA, the Young Men's Association. Stop pretending you're the Young Men's Christian Association if this is the way you're going to handle things. It's just awful. YTA. All right, tell you what, we got to take a break. I ran long. We'll come right back, take some text messages and phone calls, see if we can get Dipper number 3 going. We're heading into go-home time. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one sound bite at a time. Got a couple of the held on during the line. And listen, I got to jump on some text messages too before I lose my time. But let me do this first. Boomer, I'll take line 2. Is that Rap? Rap from Athens. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I just heard y'all talking about the MREs and it brought me up. Thinking about the dehydrated beef and pork patty.
You know what? I was one of the few guys that liked them. Did you like them or not?
No, I didn't care for them.
here's the thing. Somebody taught me a recipe with those. I used to take the big square cracker. I'd take the big square cracker. I would hydrate the beef patty. I would slice it up real thin. I'd put the ketchup paste on the cracker and then squirt some cheese on it and make pizza, or so I called it.
Okay. Never got that creative, but I do remember those. The chicken a la king.
Oh, yeah.
And I always remember I had one drill sergeant that would eat them just dry.
You know what? If you snack on them dry, you better make sure you drink some water afterwards. They're going to suck every bit of water out of your body.
Oh, yeah. He had a canteen in his hand. He was an old ranger.
Dadgum right. All right, Rap.
Yeah, he was
a... Hey, what branch of the service were you? Army?
I was in the National Guard.
All right. Well, appreciate your service, brother. Thank you so much.
Like I said, I was a 12B.
Hey, 12B. There you go. All right, dude. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Let me grab the other line real quick. Is that Jeff from Indiana? Hey, Jeff Rowe. How you doing, bud?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, if San Francisco is going to survive, they maybe need to take a page out of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, how they do things.
What? Tell me.
Most of everybody was from out of town and everything and stuff, but there were more guns on the street there than probably there is in the whole city of San Francisco. We didn't have no shootings, no drive-bys or anything else, and I didn't see any poop on the streets.
Yeah.
Everyone was welcome into businesses, and everybody was just, happy and go lucky, and, we had a parade of Jeeps instead of a parade of creeps, like they have. San Francisco.
A parade of Jeeps instead of a parade of creeps. I love that. Isn't that amazing? When you have law-abiding good people massing in a certain location and everything goes well, and then you have San Francisco claiming they just need more laws because nothing's going well. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, businesses there are thriving, you know, and people are looking for any little space they can get in there. But yeah, I mean, it's the difference between the conservatives and liberals. It's just liberals cannot survive on their own because they're just well, basically crazy, I think. I think it's a mental illness, to tell you the truth.
There's absolutely – there's no rhyme or reason to some of what happens. And San Francisco really, you know, if you get down to it, if there's going to be a wake-up call, it's going to be when San Francisco has to file for bankruptcy as a city, because I think it's coming, man.
Well, they're already bankrupt. This whole nation's bankrupt. We just haven't declared it yet. I mean, would you loan any money to the United States?
Every time somebody buys a bond is what they're technically doing.
But they're lose money because the interest rate on that bond ain't near as much as the inflation rate. So good luck.
I know it. Jeff, where are you at right now, man? You on the road?
Yep, I'm about halfway to Nashville.
All right, brother. Well, be
I'm
careful.
I'm still moving. Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see you, man. I'll get a couple of these texts before I go. Mike from Athens says, ever since Gavin Newsom took over as governor, the state is a disaster. Indeed. Mike from Owens Crossroads says, regarding the YMCA, it's high time we start fighting back by creating a scene anytime men enter a women's dressing room. If calling the police or yelling rape is necessary, then so be it. I'll be honest with you, it's going to take people speaking out, absolutely. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, says, if a dude identifies as a woman, walks in the bathroom shower with my wife or my daughter, I'm going to identify as a tooth fairy and relieve him of his teeth. Chappie from Madison says, Phil, listen to your bit on Riley Gaines today. Wondered if you heard about Vaudi Bochum's teachings, Man and Woman by God's Design, that references two people that I knew nothing about, Alfred Kinsey and John Money. All right, long text. So to answer your question briefly, I have not heard of them, but I appreciate you bringing it to my attention, man. Chappie from Madison, appreciate that. Jerry from Athens, real quick. When I was young, only males went to the YMCA. Females went to the YWCA. Don't know when that changed, but you're right. Most Christian organizations have succumbed to wokeness. Sad but true, only because too many people are staying silent, though, in my opinion. And then Brian from Huntsville says, there was a foreshadowing. It was when the village people sang YMCA. And you're going to be singing that all day now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.